So you think that if you...
In other words, our outline shows it, theft of services and unauthorized use of a vehicle, which in the subcommittee we dealt with separately. But the, I think the idea even then was to eventually make it part of the comprehensive theft article.
Haven't we, aren't you implying we've made a real mistake by making this extortion fees off?
Well, Don thinks so.
I think so,
yes. I think so, too. Neither one of us have a vote on this.
Well, don't you have, I mean, the point is, you've got to charge an armed robbery, but...
No.
Or kidnapping or anything else that they threaten, I'm not sure.
Yeah. You know, this way you're going to have to charge it separately, and you're going to have a separate type of form of indictment for it. Well, I'm certainly willing to reconsider, Mr. Chairman.
And make it a seat belt. Can we hold that decision until he gets off the phone and let me in the meantime ask Don about theft of services? Mm-hmm. Theft of services is what we picked up supplant the defrauding an innkeeper statute. And if we're going to use the $250 line and say if I come to Salishan and run up a bill of more than $250, I'm going to be guilty of a felony. I don't think that's right.
Well, you don't think it's as bad, huh?
No, I think theft of services should be a misdemeanor. But maybe I'm wrong.
No.
I wanted to discuss it.
Well, I think we could put a different, without being inconsistent, I think we could put a different penalty onto theft of services as well as onto our section on unauthorized use of a vehicle. Because they're similar to theft, but they're not really theft.
Yeah.
Because under our definition of theft, you've got to have property. And there isn't any property under theft of services. That's why we've got a different section. We recognize that services are not property. And so we've dealt with it separately. There, I think you can logically...
So by making it a C, by making the whole thing a C, though, you've got a tremendous amount of options anyway.
Well, of course, if you just look at it from the standpoint of the services involved, and this picks up things like defrauding an innkeeper and a lot of these other statutes, failure to pay a taxi driver and this kind of thing.
Well, John, we have a point there. We probably should make that those Class A misdemeanors.
But wait a minute. You're talking about services over $250 in value. Well, I don't see why it shouldn't. I mean, it seems to me there is.
No, I wasn't suggesting we put any value on separate services.
Make them all.
Well, the thing is, though, is our theft, we have made this distinction between the C and the A, and it's based upon value, and it seems to me $250 worth of services is a pretty serious crime.
Yeah, but doesn't really almost border on a bad debt, really, theft of services? I mean, that's not... we're not talking about holding somebody up and making them scrub the floor. We're talking about some criminal misdealing that's awfully...
Well, the only thing is, putting this all in this area together, the other side of it, though, is that you could have the guy who makes it a... practice to fraud
and New York makes it an A misdemeanor, Michigan makes it a B misdemeanor.
I think it should be a misdemeanor.
I move to make it a
misdemeanor. I think that's inconsistent to you, George.
Well,
because it really isn't theft under our definition.
It isn't under our definition, but it certainly is under model penal code.
It's a related offense.
Model penal code treats it as theft.
Yeah.
One of the ways you can commit theft is giving service. So you, in a sense, you have chosen by dealing with it as a separate type crime to treat it differently than the theft, unified theft article in model penal code. It ought not to be any different. It ought to be treated, I think, the same way that you grade the penalties for theft, period. I mean, it is theft. It's a way to commit theft, just like embezzlement is a way to commit theft.
I'm looking at somebody charged by information with the body of a taxi cab driver, and it comes down on an information felony for
him. Well, I guess so. Let's wait till we get the decision.
Isn't that what
we
apply to burglary?
That's a certain amount of GI.
Well, if we grade it the same as we do regular theft, on your indictment form, your information form, it's going to be an information felony, isn't it?
If the press asks.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
I think it just makes it harder to defend your somewhat your unified theft statute.
That was denied. Well, what do you think on theft of services? I think it should be a Class A misdemeanor, personally.
I tell you.
We've made the exception as to extortion being Class B felony.
You'll be swept away, I'm afraid, by it. You can really make just as good an argument for theft by deception, theft by extortion, or
if you want to rescind your action on extortion and make theft of services and unauthorized use of a motor vehicle all contingent upon the 250 line of demarcation, okay, but then what happens where somebody steals the other person's car and it's an old car, and it's worth less than $250? It's a misdemeanor. Huh? Moral of the story is, have his kids pick on old cars.
Well,
of course, when we drafted this, we decided to follow pretty much the New York and Michigan approach, although we decided to call it theft rather than New York calls it larceny. Now, I don't think we can follow their format for the purposes of construction and then follow the model penal code for the purposes of grading these things.
New York makes theft of services a Class A misdemeanor.
And both New York and Michigan do that because they say, and we say the same thing, services are not property as we've defined it. Therefore, it's not theft under our definition of theft. It's theft of services, a separate kind.
I move we make theft of services a Class A misdemeanor.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. I think that's fine. I just wanted to make clear how I feel. I think that's fine because as long as you keep in mind the broader purpose of the whole theft.
Does anybody want to reconsider the extortion besides myself?
I don't.
Yeah. I move to make unauthorized use of the vehicle a C felony.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Carry.
Now, we're up in 2 years, 5 years. Prison makes 2 years. You're up in 5.
And under your invalid section, you say you treat it as a misdemeanor.
It's all right.
Now, we've got a couple of other sections I think we ought to consider
you're talking to a long
before we get out of theft here.
Don't need too many of those. Go ahead. Don't make any, I know.
Now, under Section 8, we had a sub 3 when the value of property cannot reasonably be ascertained, it shall be presumed to be in an amount less than, I would assume you'd want to insert $250, right? Right?
Okay.
Now, do you want to, I'm almost afraid to bring it up, but I think we ought to consider it. Now, for the purposes of establishing the dollar value, do you want to allow for a tacking provision if it's part of one act or transaction in order to get it up above the $250 category?
Like the shop checks?
Yeah, such as you have under your credit cards now. I'm not recommending it, nor am I arguing against
it.
What happens
in the shoplifter?
You mean
Marcy that has it on checks? You write so many $10 checks, you tack them together and make a felon.
I don't think we should.
I don't think we should. Well, what do you do with a shoplifter?
Well, if it happens on one occasion, five articles over 250, it's a felony.
Well, yeah, but he steals one at a time. Well, presumably you catch him.
One at a time. One, you mean one each day for 5 days,
$50?
Okay, Don.
All right. Okay, well, now if... On shoplifting, now do you think we're going to have a problem there that we ought to discuss now with respect to shoplifting? Because I think we have to recognize that we are
making a
big change in the law. I mean, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's certainly a move in the right direction. Nobody's paying attention to the felony part of it anyhow. Nobody will bring the charge, I understand. Cities have got their own shoplifting acts now because they don't like the state law. I think the making it a misdemeanor is the proper thing to do. Yeah, unless it's worth more than $250.
You know, the thing that bothers me more, it is more than the change we've done in shoplifting, is this what we're doing to the present statute on entering a motor vehicle with intent to steal.
Which is 5 years.
Huh?
5 years.
We're not making it that. We're making it a misdemeanor, are we?
Why?
No, you just
made it 5. Unauthorized use is a Class C felony.
Unauthorized use is taking the car. But
yeah.
I'm talking about entering a motor vehicle with intent to steal something in it.
What does that now become?
If he enters it and steals something that's worth less than $250, it's a misdemeanor. That now is punishable as an indictable misdemeanor, regardless of the amount, by virtue of the fact that he broke the code, so to speak.
Is this a separate act under the RIMI code?
No.
Separate.
Well,
fall under burglary.
I think it's right.
We have a section on criminal mischief, which.
Maybe you can set up.
I think picks up this tampering kind of business.
Yeah, maybe.
But even if what you say is true, John, what's wrong with it?
No, nothing. I agree with it. But I say if we're going to start arguing about reforming the shoplifting law, I think this law would bother some people as much. Me, but I think it's okay.
Next case.
Okay. Okay, burglary and criminal trespass. All right. Burglary in the second degree. A person commits burglary in the second degree if he enters or remains unlawfully in a building with intent to commit a crime therein.
See?
See?
That sounded like Spanish class.
This is burglary not in the dwelling.
In a building.
What's first degree?
Yeah, it's a building, A dwelling is picked up under first degree. Burglary in the first degree, if he violates the section 2, and if in effecting entry or while in the building or in immediate flight therefrom, he is armed with explosives or a deadly weapon, or causes or attempts to cause physical injury to any person, or uses or threatens the use of a dangerous weapon, or the building is a dwelling.
B.
Question is,
this, you understand, would be knocking it down 5 years in each instance from the present law.
Yeah. And well, I thought that the intent, our intent was to enhance the the burglary offense if the person threatened the use of a dangerous weapon or caused physical injury.
Well, it makes it first degree. What we're saying is burglary in a dwelling or burglary with added circumstances would have a 10-year maximum instead of 15.
That's all right. The only place where it really departs, I think, is burglary with explosives now carries a 40-year maximum.
I think record me as voting for first degree in favor of an A felony.
In favor of an A felony on the burglary?
Burglary in the first degree.
I'll rack them up for 10 years. It'll be all right.
Now we come to George Platt's favorite crime, possession of burglars. But I had a note.
That would be nice to
know. No, George, I had a note under here. This section will be subject to further review.
Next was draft of the court crime.
And we reviewed it in connection with both crimes.
What penalty?
A misdemeanor.
Me?
B misdemeanor.
Oh. No, excuse me.
A misdemeanor.
C felony.
Would that? Go back to your paper.
A misdemeanor. Next.
Yes, sir.
Deal.
We don't have a third degree burglary, do we? Like,
No, we just have 2 degrees. All right, we have criminal trespass in the second degree. Person commits it if he enters or remains unlawfully in or upon premises. And you may want to know what premises are. Do you?
I would sort of guess that.
C misdemeanor.
It includes the term building and any real property. And then first degree is a dwelling, criminal trespass in a dwelling.
A misdemeanor. I'd say second degree would be a C misdemeanor. First degree would be a B misdemeanor.
No. Read that first again on second degree.
Second degree is premises, which would be a building or real property. And that would take in most of your farmer type trespass. And then the other one is in a dwelling.
Yeah, but what does he do?
Enter or remain unlawfully means to enter or remain upon premises when the premises at the time of such entry or remaining are not open to the public and when the actor is not otherwise licensed or privileged to do so.
Shouldn't that really be a violation? At least you ought to consider now that you do have this violation charge. This isn't a serious moral kind of crime. At least someplace where you shouldn't be. You're not there for any specified bad purpose here.
Of course, it's getting all close to our 1880, our public trespass law.
I think it should be a misdemeanor of some sort. C, probably.
Trespass real property now has a maximum of 3 months,
and a maximum of $500 fine.
Yeah, but that's just certain kind. But look at 462, unlawful entry of a dwelling is 1 year, $500 fine.
What's the...
164, 462, unlawful right. entry of a dwelling.
Okay.
B and C.
Now we have 164, 465, which we noted in our commentary, which cover unauthorized entry of penal or correctional institutions. Now that carries a 5 year maximum.
Yes, but then don't we get the guy that goes on there through our in our escape section and pick up the one they were really after on that 465 in our escape section? New York has first degree as a class A misdemeanor and second degree as a B misdemeanor.
I recommend first degree of class A misdemeanor, second degree as class C misdemeanor.
I go. I buy.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good idea, Mr. Chairman, we all had little cards, you know. television programs.
Well, dwelling is more serious. C for second, A, that's a motion, wasn't it?
Yep.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Very.
Now we come to one of our favorite drafts, arson.
Where are you going to get mischief?
I think I'll go down the hallway.
Well, arson is picked up, well, has been consolidated as a part of the arson draft. It's called arson and criminal mischief.
All right.
Now, I think I better read you these definitions first because they're important. First of all, protected property. I can remember how we struggle over this. Protected property means any structure, place, or thing customarily occupied by people, including public buildings as defined by ORS 479.010. And forest land defined by ORS 477001.
God, yeah, I remember.
You know what happened on this? Don had a beautiful draft. We got almost all the way through it, and Chandler says, well, hey, how about airplanes? Where did airplanes come in? Six drafts later, we came up with protected property.
Okay, now we start off. Under section 2, we have a section, reckless burning. A person commits a crime of reckless burning if he recklessly damages property of another by fire or explosion.
I'd rather
I'd rather start
at the other end. I think the big decision is first degree arson going to be an A or B felony?
Yeah,
what do you
that way?
What's first degree arson?
The person commits a crime of arson in the first degree if, by starting a fire or causing an explosion, he intentionally damages protected property of another or any property, whether his own or another's, and such act recklessly places another person in danger of physical injury or protected property of another in danger of damage.
B.
B.
B. B. B. B. B. B.
You gonna make first degree arson a B felony?
10 years.
Too late for you, Judge?
No, I'm just wondering.
Second
to come in. House.
Well, there's so many other things that are included in here.
We go to
the man's house.
Takes everything out of it, and it's only a B.
I think these other codes
are
even the model penal code now classifies arson as a
as a first degree.
Class A felony in Michigan, if the damage to the building by starting a fire or causing an explosion when another person is present in the building.
Well, ours is by explosive. He does it intentionally and recklessly hurts something else, somebody else's protected property.
Yeah, ours is more encompassing.
Ours what about the bomber? The bomber is, I assume, well, that's under your homicide.
Well, if he killed somebody.
Yeah.
Or
you can prove an intent to try to kill somebody, yeah.
Maybe.
You want speed?
Well, you get the guy sets fire to Chandler's plane.
First degree,
and it's likely that somebody, or possible that somebody's around. Doesn't have to be around, right?
Well, I'd say that if we're going to make first degree arson A, we should make first degree burglary.
Well, I'd go with you on that.
Maybe.
Draw my objection.
You've got to have an intent to do it.
Second degree of C felony.
What is second degree?
Well, he intentionally damages any building of another that is not protected property as defined in Section 1. Now, that's the bad section, in my opinion. I was shot down on that a long time ago.
What do you mean by bad?
Well, it's bad because you're calling a guy an arsonist for burning down a chicken house or an outhouse or any number of things.
Right.
But we fought this battle in the commission once before, and I don't think that you should label this guy an arsonist.
What would you call him, an actor outer?
I'd say a class.
Well, it can't be any more than Class C felony.
Class A misdemeanor?
Well, of course, it could be a great big granary.
I think it's Class C and usually the option is.
Yeah.
Class C.
One of the things that we don't perpetuate are those arson statutes relating to insurance fraud, right? Reckless burning.
Class C first on second degree arson, right?
Right.
All right.
Class A misdemeanor, reckless burning.
Yeah, adequate.
What is reckless burning?
Do we want to
burn something recklessly?
What's that?
Well, reckless burning under the model penal code is a Class C felony. It's a third degree felony.
Well, we say this section is concerned with the protection of property from damage caused recklessly where there is no intent on the part of the actor to damage the property. Consciously disregards a substantial unjustifiable risk resulting from misconduct.
Class A misdemeanor.
A misdemeanor. You get that, John?
Yeah.
Next case.
A misdemeanor.
Okay, then the next one is criminal mischief. I don't know it.
All right, here it is. A person commits the crime of criminal mischief in the third degree if with intent to cause substantial inconvenience to the owner or to another person and having no right to do so, nor reasonable ground to believe that he has such right, he tampers or interferes with property of another.
Violation.
Well, this is vandalism, isn't it?
Right.
What is it?
A second degree is a person commits the crime of criminal mischief in the second degree if he violates Section 1, and as a result thereof, damages property in an amount exceeding $1,000. $100. Or, sub 2, having no right to do so, nor reasonable ground to believe that he has such a right, he intentionally damages property of another,
or recklessly damages property of another in an amount exceeding $100. You know, I think
C, B, and A.
And then criminal mischief in the first degree is a person commits a crime of criminal mischief in the first degree if with intent to damage property and having no right to do so nor reasonable ground to believe that he has such right, he damages property of another in an amount exceeding $1,000 or two by means of an explosive. Going out and bombing a...
well, that could be class C.
Council corrects street cars, too.
I'd say first degree should be a C felony.
Yeah.
I agree.
I'd say second degree should be an A misdemeanor, and third degree should be a violation.
Now that third degree, originally we called that tampering, and that was intended to cover, got a whole lot of...
Goes down to petty misdemeanor on the corresponding third degree criminal.
Let's make that a C misdemeanor then, instead of a violation.
You know, tampering with utilities and hooking into utilities and this sort of business, and phone company.
C misdemeanor.
Okay. Second, A misdemeanor.
Yeah.
First, C felony.
Yeah.
Okay. You say model penal code makes third a petty misdemeanor.
Piddly misdemeanor.
Okay, next one is robbery. Robbery in the third degree. If in the course of committing or attempting...
I'm not sure whether I should interject this or not. This means then, what's the line, what's the class C misdemeanor value cut off on your criminal mischief?
$100.
$100? All right, that means then anything under $100 is a violation.
No.
It's possible to have a violation under the model penal code if the value is under $25. I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Okay, with a drunk who throws a bottle through a window or something like that.
Okay, now robbery in the third degree. If in the course of committing or attempting to commit theft, he uses or threatens the immediate use of physical force upon another person with the intent of preventing or overcoming resistance to his taking of the property or to his retention thereof immediately after the taking, or compelling the owner of such property or another person to deliver the property or to engage in other conduct that might aid in the commission of the theft.
C felony?
B.
Yeah. Now, the question that I have
third degree
is by tying this into the definition of theft and drawing a line between $250 on theft, do we get into a problem?
I don't think so.
No.
Different types of
them. Okay.
I don't think so, because...
even if he's only trying to steal $200, it'd still be $30.
Well, the guy says, empty your cash box, and the guy's only got 50 bucks in it, but the fact is he's...
Well, CBA,
that's what I'd say, CBA.
There's no point.
All felonies, of course.
Yeah.
ABC, I like.
ABC, all right.
ABC, delicious.
Or we go after robbery.
You don't want to hear the other definitions of the crimes, you like?
No, we like CPA.
Okay.
Chairman, how long do you plan on going before?
About 5:30 or so, and then take up at 7:30.
We're going to miss Gunsmoke there.
That's a shame.
Exactly. You can't miss Gunsmoke.
Okay, forgery and related offenses. Forgery in the second degree. with intent to injure or defraud, he falsely makes, completes, or alters a written instrument, or utters a written instrument which he knows to be forged. Second degree. We just have 2 degrees of forgery.
What's first degree?
First degree violates that section. And the written instrument is or purports to be any of the following: part of an issue of money, securities, postage, or revenue stamps, or other valuable instruments issued by a government or governmental agency, or part of an issue of stock, bonds, or other instruments representing interest in or claims, or a deed, will, codicil, contract, assignment, or a public record.
I'd say B and C and D.
But you remember, forgery really
is
a crime.
No, B and C.
Well,
forgery is a crime.
Call it a separate
crime,
but
if
really
theft,
perhaps
D
goes higher than you would
want to
go.
But when
you're
not
going to
pick up the bill. It's just another way of stealing something. Well, right, you know, when we make first degree forgery, burglary armed danger to weapon or your car before you do business with somebody, it doesn't make sense.
The bar can be pretty
high.
What's that again, John?
If we make first-degree forgery, which would be involve the forgery of a will, and make it
penalty
correspond to burglary, where the burglar is armed with a dangerous weapon and he harms somebody,
stay break.
It
right.
Doesn't make sense.
Not aligned with your
plan. Well,
let's make them both see then.
But I'll pay the difference for my two kids. Right?
What is Michigan?
I don't.
I've got it right here. Those are all Michigan.
I feel forgery is more serious.
Well, I do too.
Michigan first degree is B felony, second degree is C felony, third degree is
B. The historical reason that I got started. That is the
well, let's leave it B and C.
You being a government officer, you feel more serious when somebody uses your seal to get.
What number is that, Jim, in Michigan?
405-6.
In other words, you're kind of saying I have my head in the sand.
No, I'm just saying that explains why you feel that way, maybe. What's the reason you're so
close? Well, isn't forgery usually involved using more sophisticated crime?
Not any more sophisticated than deception crimes, I don't think.
Could you read second degree forgery again at all?
No, it's been fed by deception. Yeah, sophisticated animals.
If with intent to injure or defraud, he falsely makes, completes, or alters a written instrument, or utters a written instrument which he knows to be forged.
And first degree is where it's a will or a U.S. government security or any of the
money. Counterfeit, that type of thing, or a public record.
I don't know. I tend to think that George is right. Maybe it should be a C. Actually, if it's counterfeiting, it's a federal crime.
Why don't you make them both C felonies?
Well, that's, yeah.
Well, then what's the sense of having
a separate I don't think you want to make them.
Don't want to go by deception is the same thing.
Don, we're not going to make them misdemeanors if that's one of them.
I want
you to come into.
So I'd say
they're both. What's wrong making them both
C? I don't see anything wrong. Even if they are in separate sections.
They're asking into one offense rather than first and second degree.
Well, then you don't need you don't need first degree, do you? Because every first degree is a second degree.
Right.
Maybe we ought to just make it forgery.
Let's recommend to the full committee.
Well, penal code makes it a second degree or a class B forgery, but only when there's a issue of money or counterfeiting type crime or use of government seal.
Well, but gee whiz, we're talking about, if you don't distinguish, then second degree catches all of the first degree activity. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Make a class C felony and recommend that we do away with the distinction between the two.
We struck a ball for simplification.
What's your problem, Don?
Of course, the people remain basically unprotected.
Which little unprotection isn't bad at times.
You know?
Keeps them on their toes.
Well, I just hate to see us do this too quickly without stopping to examine it, you know.
Oh, all right.
Well, we're making a recommendation. You can bet your bottom dollar that somebody on the commission will have something to say about it.
Under Michigan, first degree is stamps, securities, or governmental instruments, and corporate stocks or bonds, and that's a Class B felony under Michigan. Second degree is deeds, wills, public records, and so forth. And that's a Class C felony. And then third degree is a written instrument, and that's a Class A misdemeanor. In other words, a written instrument that doesn't fall within one of these A or B, first or second degree.
Frankly, I like that better than ours.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, the commission decided that they wanted to combine those two, and they felt public records was just as serious as the other, so we combined those two and just made it one degree, made it all first degree, and everything else is a second degree.
Maybe what we should do is make it second degree a Class A misdemeanor and first degree a Class C felony.
God, I don't like
to
make up.
What's about the only way you can do
well,
it?
Well,
is
but,
make
but,
a B and a C.
What documents are they going to forge? That don't fall within first degree that are very important.
Not that many. If it's the government security, the feds are going to take them anyway. I'd recommend it to do away with the distinction and make it
Class C.
And you can think about it.
Mr. Johnson, what would you do?
That's what I do.
What would you do, Mr. Carson?
I'd either do that or go back and make the distinction that perhaps we had in our first draft for the Michigan leagues, and then I can see a distinction, but I don't think government stuff that much.
Well, now the commission's already made a policy decision on that.
Yeah, but they didn't have to agree.
Well, they're going to make the policy decision
on our recommendation, and they can quickly decide if they don't like our recommendation, and we'll take them along and decide it.
Well, I just need to go back and redraft all these statutes, these drafts that we've drafted three or four times already.
All you have to do is eliminate a section. That doesn't go
well, how many will go along with making first degree Class C and second degree a Class A misdemeanor?
In other words, forging all the wills and all that kind of stuff is what? Yeah.
Forged will is a first degree.
How about a check?
A professional check writer.
Deed, will, codicil, contract, signed, commercial instrument.
How much did he get for the check? And that's just like the theft question. Was it over $250 check he forged? And if so, it's Class C misdemeanor under theft. If you look at it as a theft type crime, then you write that, forge that check.
Well, the only problem is there. Don't you have a little bit different problem? What about the professional check writer? The professional check writer.
That's first degree.
Writes them in small amounts.
No. Right.
A check would be
first degree.
Why?
Commercial
instrument.
Well, what's second degree?
What is second degree?
Everything. Any other instrument other than the one specifically defined.
Why? What are the ones defined? Read the ones defined.
Money, securities, postage, revenue stamps, government instruments, stocks, bonds, other instruments representing interest in or claims against any property or person, deed, will, codicil, contract, assignment, commercial instrument, or other document which does or may evidence create or a public record.
All right, then what's anything else?
The letter.
Student money cards.
Fishing license.
Car license.
Letter of permit.
Oh, not car license, but that'd be government license.
That'd be probably a
public record. Yeah, it would be.
CNA.
Okay.
What?
CNA.
Forgery second is a name misdemeanor. Forgery first is a C felony.
Yeah.
Right. Georgia won one. And Don?
In Georgia, I'm with you.
Don't get a big head.
Don't get carried away.
We'll get you yet.
And I'm sure you will. Mark that down. Don's been winning too.
Yeah, I got a master. I got a master at five.
And the coercion draft, and I think to read it again.
And put down two asterisks on George, will you?
Okay.
And it's unusual that George and I both win one at the same time.
Well, that cuts down the odds for the rest of us.
For our criminal simulation.
Oh,
read that.
If you can.
With intent to defraud, he makes or alters any object in such manner that it appears to have an antiquity, rarity, source, or authorship that it does not in fact possess. Or, with knowledge of his true character, and with intent to defraud, he utters or possesses an object so simulated.
In other words, my wife antiquing the bureau drawers would not constitute a crime. Right?
That's forgery of an object, really.
Class A misdemeanor?
Class A misdemeanor. Michigan.
How about a painter?
That's class A misdemeanor. A lot of those paintings aren't worth copying anyway.
Oh, this is a real.
Class A misdemeanor.
Yeah,
it's just a little simulation.
We can make it. Artificial simulation?
Yeah, we can make it a simulated misdemeanor.
That's what it is.
Artificial simulation.
And the counter is 535.
Whenever you do that, you spare the rod and spoil the child.
Would you want to finish this article?
Yeah. Simulation.
Okay, fraudulently obtaining a signature.
I think simulation.
With intent to defraud or injure another, he obtains the signature of a person to a written instrument by knowingly misrepresenting any fact. It's not forgery because the resulting written instrument is exactly what it purports to be, a document executed by one who has the authority to do so. Furthermore, a signature is not property.
What does Michigan make it?
A misdemeanor.
I'm going to abstain on this one.
You can't abstain. Be a man and vote A misdemeanor.
Oh, geez, I need to put a number on my
This isn't even a fact yet.
B misdemeanor.
A misdemeanor.
A misdemeanor?
A misdemeanor.
4030.
A misdemeanor. This is one of our
gardeners.
I was supposed to use beer in a pen.
This is. Boy, you're getting rubbed out, Mildred.
This is a horticultural thing. Fence. We could, but we thought about covering this under cruelty to animals. We weren't sure that a slug was an animal.
Can we add in the first and second degree?
Cool, we have invertebrates.
Do we just have one degree of it?
Yes, thank God.
This is a good statute.
Be
misdemeanor.
We worked hard on this. If with intent to defraud the supplier of property or a service sold or offered by means of a coin machine, he inserts, deposits, or otherwise uses a slug in such machine, or he makes, possesses, offers for sale, or disposes of a slug with intent to enable a person to use it fraudulently in a coin machine. And we define coin machine and slug.
What's a slug?
An object, article, or device which by virtue of its size, shape, or any other quality is capable of being inserted.
Oh, no. Don't break down that point. Burn, cut it out. You caused it.
We went through this before. This didn't seem funny. I don't know. To deposit or otherwise used in a coin machine as a fraudulent substitute for a genuine coin, bill, or token.
So any coin or a washer in my pocket right now would make me subject to charge the crime, right?
See, but you have to have an intent. You have to have a
misdemeanor.
Well, wait a minute.
Oh, gentlemen.
Michigan has Two degrees, and it's a Class C felony.
Well, let's move that to a Class B misdemeanor.
You bet. Some guy with a vending machine operator.
Putting a slug in a cigarette machine.
Dave barrels a lot in this room.
No, I think we said what do you say, a B misdemeanor or a C?
B.
B, compromise.
Generally 90 days.
No, B is 6 months.
Yeah, 6 months, okay.
That is.
We've got a couple more here. This is a long article.
No, you're right. Came out of Representative Carson's subcommittee, didn't it?
No, this is Subcommittee 1.
Sorry about that.
Well, we worked hard on this one, I'll tell you. Fraudulent use of a credit card. Well, this is just your credit card crime.
C felony.
Now, here,
we've already valued this thing.
No.
But that's just the use of the credit card. What if you charge $1,000 worth of material? You then
debt and service. Yeah.
Comes back under the theft statute.
That includes the phony. I bet you. What's your phone number?
Well, now
Office 363-3443.
What I say here is that this is the gist of ORS 165-300. With the scope of the crime enlarged to include use of a forged or stolen credit card. Now, the existing statute provides for misdemeanor punishment if the total amount of goods or services obtained is less than $75, and for felony penalties if the total amount exceeds $75. It is anticipated that a similar provision will be retained when the crimes are graded by the commission. I think you almost have to take into account the guy that goes on a buying spree with these things, and you may want to allow for attacking a total value to get it into.
Do you want to key it into the 250 on petty and grand larceny
with the tack on?
Yeah.
As long as you use that one card, you can tack.
I think it might be an idea, don't you?
We weren't able to tack on shoplifting if you used one hand.
250, the line between an A misdemeanor and a C felony.
Just thought I'd throw it out.
And authorize you to draft attacking. Hey, I go for that.
Yeah, that's a purchase.
Okay, now we got one other section. Negotiating a bad check.
Yeah,
this was our, we intended this all along to be a misdemeanor check situation.
Regardless of amount?
No, because if it goes up above, gets into our felony theft, then we anticipate it could be handled as theft by deception, and otherwise that it would be a misdemeanor if it was
A misdemeanor.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
Yep.
Amen.
We'll need it. 7:30. What do we have?
We're gonna need differentiated dollars and. Possessor in terms of quantity, yes. I was thinking that if there'd be some way that we could say it's criminal dealing in drugs is a Class C felony, and then
I like a lot of this language. I like this section that they've got.
See the criminal sale in degrees.
703, I think.
First, second, third degree on criminal sale. We have criminal possession in first and second degree. You've thrown it all in the same act, all in the same.
Well, section. We started out with that.
Started out with
it. That scheme, and then we rejected.
The easiest thing to do would be to do what Lee suggests, and that is to make one exception to the
five-year indictable misdemeanor rule and say, insofar as narcotics is concerned, make it 10 years, perpetuate what we have right now. However,
you know, if there's one other way we might go about it.
I tend to disagree, John. I think that Jim's on the right track on this thing.
Wow.
It's dealt under this special section for an extended term.
Well, I say that your suggestion is easier. I'm not necessarily saying that it's better than his. I'm kind of intrigued by his suggestion of covering under the enhanced penalty section, but I can't think clear enough at this point to try to draft it.
Well, I like this. What is this from? Is this from Michigan on page 25 or book 703?
That'd be model penal code.
I think a lot of the language is pretty good.
That's good words.
The demand is a multiple.
Tim, by the way, did anyone happen to hear how the vote went today on the cars around here?
They failed to recommit.
What was the vote?
There was 8 difference.
Oh.
1 by 8.
One by eight? Because Packwood voted against the recommit.
He's
going to
vote against the one before, he said.
Yeah.
That sounds like they got enough votes to confirm it. We got a margin of 8 on the.
No, what we have is they got a 4-4 tie up there on a whole mess of cases.
In the Supreme Court?
Apparently they set 3 down for argument in the next few months.
Well, you know,
they know they can't get any agreement.
When Jackson was over at Nuremberg, was it in Jackson? It was in Nuremberg. There were a number of 4-4 opinions that
just affirmed them.
That affirmed that mm-hmm. came out. I wonder how they did that.
That's the rule.
One designated to write the majority, or
no? They just say they don't write an opinion on it.
Was that it?
Probably what caused that struggle between Jackson and Black. What do we do about it in court crimes?
I don't think it's going to be a problem. Oh, we
argue upon the standard old committee chairman's trick. Wait till everybody gets exhausted, and then you bring out the turkey.
I remember late House around today, governed a long time as far as a teacher. I worked in the legislature in Illinois a number of years.
Well, you're the one that brought the suspect to the cottage on narcotics.
Well, I like Jim's approach better than the original suggestion.
That's what
I move that we adopt my approach.
I will not go to the opposition to that, Mr. Chairman.
Don, you are you able to write some language?
Well, as long as I know what you want now, we can certainly make.
Crank it into the dangerous offender section, and provide that if the guy was if he was selling.
No. Yeah, but you don't want to enhance on merely evidence of a casual sale.
That's right. It can't be.
But how about, well, here's this language out of this. The defendant is a professional criminal whose commitment for an extended term is necessary for protection of the public. The court shall not make such a finding unless the defendant is over 21 years of age and the circumstances of the crime show that the defendant has knowingly devoted himself to criminal activity is a major source of liability.
Professional criminal is like a common prostitute.
Yeah.
I don't like the magnet.
I don't either.
I'll let you try to see what you can come up with.
It's shown a propensity for criminal conduct.
Now, I don't know whether you could go the quantitative route that Michigan has. I'm so many ounces or
that. Well, but you could go that route by kilo.
Okay.
By allowing the court to find when the quantities that the guy has on him when he's arrested are so sizable as to lead to no other conclusion than that he's really a heavy dealer.
What would you designate as a?
I don't know. Let's say 2 kilos or something like that. Or alternately, that the court finds that. Say a pattern of repeated sales activity.
State versus Long.
Court has reason to suspect.
Well, you could say kilos as far as marijuana is concerned, and then we get into all sorts of different designations for.
But I'm not sure. I'm not sure that you'd necessarily want to write the
quantitative.